Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Al Mussel, the research lead with AgriFood Economic Systems. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Mussel.
Well, thanks, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
AgriFood Economic Systems has released an independent AgriFood policy note resetting a new AgriFood trade policy agenda. First of all, what prompted the release of this latest trade analysis?
Well, Bruce, what was emerging pretty quickly, and no accident, the early days of the Trump administration have reminded us of this. What's evolved pretty quickly is that we have a new and pretty crowded trade policy agenda with some real urgent items on it. And this is a quickly developing story. So we thought it was worthwhile taking stock of what some of these issues are, and to the extent that we have analysis available, and not really much at this point because it's as I say, quickly developing. We thought it was important to get that out and to get people thinking about some of these issues.
What have been the key changes in U.S. trade policy that will impact Canada, and what are the factors there?
Well, the obvious changes, of course, that we're seeing you quickly finding out is that, if there's any doubt whether Mr. Trump was prepared to act on some of the items that he campaigned on in the U.S. presidential campaign, we're finding out pretty quickly that indeed he is. And some of these things are of really critical significance to Canada. So on one front, we're looking at the prospect of trade disputes and trade actions initiated by the United States against probably multiple countries, but we worry that some of them may be directed at us and involve agriculture and food. Secondly, we have the issue of potentially, or it seems almost certain at this point, a desire on behalf of the United States to renegotiate NAFTA in some way. Then there's this issue of a border tax, and I think every time I hear about the border tax, it has a different percentage associated with it, and variously would apply to everything or only the imports that are viewed by some as being injurious to the United States, et cetera. So that's a very broad range and diversity of issues. And almost all new.
What Canadian agricultural sectors have the most at stake in all of this, and what are the factors there? Why?
Well, I guess there's maybe sort of two ways to broach that question. One is the trade disputes or specific initiatives that we know about now. So the one that we know about now is this action that's been taken against wine retailing in BC. It's broadly anticipated that there will be some sort of trade action, yet the specific nature of it yet to be seen against the Canadian dairy industry, specifically having to do with U.S. exports of diet-filtered milk or milk protein concentrate. Others may follow, and you hate to speculate about these things, but the strategy seems to be on behalf of the Trump administration to sort of pick these fights and disputes and try and come up with wins in them relatively quickly. And in that regard, it wouldn't be, you would think that just about any industry that has a high proportion of its output exported to the United States would be vulnerable in that environment. And we have past experience with this, and a lot of your listeners in the swine industry, we know all too well that the U.S. has been prepared to bring trade actions against hogs in particular, and secondly, in the past, attempted on pork as well. So I would be concerned about that. The other one that would be obvious would be greenhouse vegetables as a trade action that they previously had brought. And there could be other possibilities. And they don't, and again, in this environment, I don't think they necessarily have to have merit.
What will the Canadian government need to be watching moving forward, and why?
This is, I think, a very difficult position for the Canadian government. It's yet to be seen, but it's entirely possible that part of the strategy here is simply to, you know, almost call it helter-skelter. It's bringing so many issues to the front. So it's the trade disputes that we know about or have a suspicion of. So that's the wine retailing in BC, that's dairy, that is softwood lumber. There seems to be some likelihood of a dispute of some sort or other on automotive and origin content of automotive parts, as well as the NAFTA renegotiation and the possibility of this border tax, perhaps on specific items. For the Canadian government, we only have so much capacity to be able to participate in these things effectively. I use the metaphor of helter skelter. Well, helter skelter, say, well, you know, you just throw so many things at them that they have limited capacity to react. And perhaps the intent here is that if they do enough of this, they'll force us to settle some of the disputes, or that they just simply weaken our ability to effectively defend ourselves or adjudicate the case, and the U.S. can score a win against us on that basis alone. Now, you know, with all that acknowledged, it does seem that the primary targets of this kind of behavior at this point are Mexico and China. I don't think they're necessarily gunning for Canada. But what they're really gunning for are victories. And if they think they can score victories against us, then I expect that some of these things will come.
How important will be timing in all of this?
Well, I think timing is one of the big issues. We can handle trade disputes. We've had trade disputes with the United States before, unfortunately. And if we, you know, given our resource base, if we have time to react, I think we can analyze effectively, formulate a strategy and execute on that strategy and serve ourselves very well in terms of defending our interests. When this all comes, in a very condensed period of time, and of course, we're only talking about the United States at this point. We also have other considerations like the technical side of the CETA agreement with the EU and working out all of those various elements. We also have a WTO ministerial meeting that will occur late this year, which we expect that agricultural support will play a major part of. We need to be preparing for all those things too. So the worry here is that, you know, you just simply get your capacity just gets exhausted and it's hard to do a good job.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I guess, you know, in terms of thinking about going back just over 12 months ago, I know myself, I pay pretty close attention to this. I thought that we were going to be entering a period of relative peace. In terms of, you know, we had our CETA negotiation, we thought at the time, sewn up, the TPP agreement had occurred, the WTO Nairobi agreement, having the export subsidies, had been settled, and it really didn't seem like there were a lot of threats that related to Canadian agricultural policy on the horizon, and frankly, we thought there were a lot of opportunities. Well, what a difference a year makes. So I think we're going to need to be prepared for a little bit of a chaotic environment in a couple respects. First of all, particularly in relation to a NAFTA renegotiation and also a potential border tax, that's a big enough picture that issue that it could have macroeconomic effects, which is a fancy way of saying it could affect currency valuations. just because the U.S. is such a large importer. So we need to be prepared for probably a weaker dollar, and probably interest rates that will not move in lockstep with the U.S. as it would if we're in an integrated market. Secondly, you know, we're well into the process now of our, I think we're now calling it the next agricultural policy framework, which, among other things, deals with our business risk management programming. Some of these issues that are occurring on the trade side, particularly with the United States, these are game changers in terms of some of the assumptions that we make going into developing our farm income programming. You know, and I guess, you know, to state the obvious, if you start out with the assumption that over the 5 years beginning in 2018, the Canadian dollar is liable to fluctuate between 70 and 80 cents U.S., let's say, but instead we end up having a real negative or difficult arrangement with the U.S. on either the NAFTA renegotiation or the border tax, and actually our exchange rate operates in the 60 to 70 cent U.S. range, well, that's a massive difference. And these things all need to be factored in. And, of course, they're happening relatively late in the process.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Bruce.
Our guest has been Dr. Al Mussel, the research lead with Agri-Food Economic Systems. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.